Good morning, everyone. Morning, morning, morning. Thank you, guys and girls. Awesome, awesome presence. Whew. Ross hasn't noticed that we can sit yet. He's just saying goodbye to all the youngsters. Go and have a good time. Come and tell us all about it. Come and educate us afterwards, eh? We're looking forward to that. Yo, look at the speed they leave at. You wonder why. Sure, it's like half the church leaves. This is the church, you're right. That is a church. So good morning, South City. Tell me, do you guys like animals? So, 5 or 6 here, and that's about it. The rest of you, well, not so much, eh? I like animals. I do. And my favorite is probably shrimp. I love shrimp. So, John comes to me this morning, and they've heard that I was trying to build up my vocabulary and get some nice long words so I can preach like Ross. So he said I should get a thesaurus. Thanks, John, but I'm not falling for that. I know they're extinct. I went to the dock, and you know, they get you to fill that form in with all those stupid, really stupid questions. Who should we contact in the case of emergency? Well, how about the doctor? Is that a good starting point? No, they said. We mean like one of your children. My children? What's that going to help? They phone Tracy. She's going to say, well, why don't you phone the doctor? Yeah, they could. They said, Tracy, your dad's been involved in an accident. What's her advice going to be? Well, give him some ice cream. He likes ice cream. He really likes ice cream. Give him that. And yes, they might ask her some what they think are important questions, like, is he a hemophiliac? And she'll just say, no, he's a Baptist. Okay, let's get serious. Let's just pray to open up. Heavenly Father, today I ask that you will place a watch over my mouth, that you ensure that everything I say is straight from you and nothing is from me. I pray that you help me to keep this message clear and simple, and I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Yeah. So, the title for this week's sermon is One Savior for All Mankind. One for All Mankind. And our scripture reading is from Acts 15, starting at verse 1, going through to 11. And it describes the early church's council in Jerusalem, where the apostles and the elders, they addressed the question of whether or not Gentile converts needed to follow Jewish laws in order to be saved, and in particular, circumcision. We've got 3 points that we're going to cover today. The first one is, what is the requirement to be saved? The second one, what is the purpose of the law? And then thirdly, do Gentiles need to adhere to the Mosaic law? So we're going to look at that. Okay, so let's go point one. What is the requirement to be saved? A very important question. Acts 14 ends on such a positive ever after. But no. we all know some sort of problem always arises. Not so. There's always a problem that comes up. And this is a very good story. So, here comes trouble. We got Acts 15, verse 1. Let's go. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So we got these guys from Jerusalem, about 480 kilometers away. And they come with a different message to the one that Paul and Barnabas have been preaching. Can we see the problem? So here arises a problem. These guys, they were Christians with a strong Jewish background. In fact, they were probably converted Pharisees. And they taught that the Gentiles, they could certainly become Christians, they could, but only after they'd become Jews. And after they had submitted to all the Jewish rituals, including circumcision, eh? It was very difficult for these Jewish Christians to accept that the Gentiles could join this group of believers as equal members without first coming through that law of Moses, the Mosaic law. Difficult for them. Imagine their position. They'd spent their whole lives observing this law of Moses. And they've been scrupulous. See, I got a big word. In caring for it. And now, all of a sudden, they hear that some other people would be allowed to come into full faith. They'd be allowed to come into full righteousness with God without the law of Moses. Now that just didn't sit right with them. And they felt very strongly about this. So much so that they walked a long way. They had 480 kilometers from Jerusalem and they came to deliver this message of theirs. And they stood up in the church and they said, you Gentiles, you think that you're right with God? You think that you're saved? Now I know that you all mean well, but let me tell you, you are not saved. You're not really right with God. And you won't be either until you get circumcised and bring yourselves under the full law of Moses. You've been going about this whole thing in the wrong way. Your faith in Jesus alone isn't enough. It's not enough. You have to add to it. You have to add respect and obedience to the Mosaic law. They were saying that Jesus alone is not enough. He's not enough to save you. And that you need to keep some laws as well in order to be what they called properly saved. And that would mean that salvation really is a reward for living a good life. Not so. Does that sound familiar to you? Isn't that what all other religions believe? They believe that you need to live a good life if you want to go to heaven. That's what they all believe. But the true salvation that Jesus offers, that's a free gift from God. And it starts by us admitting that we are not good enough. By us admitting that salvation cannot be earned. Trying to be good is a waste of time. You see, Jesus is enough. Jesus said, "Tetelestai," it is finished. Meaning that there's no more to be done. He was saying his salvation work is complete, finished. Anything that you or I add to Jesus' work doesn't strengthen, it dilutes. It dilutes. So these guys, they were criticizing Paul and Barnabas for being these new churches. We need to understand that this was not a small issue. To do with salvation and how someone could be made right with God. It's a pivotal issue. Not something where we could like agree to disagree. No, no, no. This went to the heart of Christianity. And it had to be resolved. Folks, can you see Satan's hand in this? Hey? This is a danger point for the church. Satan would have been so excited to see two things happening right here. Firstly, he would have loved to establish a righteousness by works culture in that early church. He would have just loved that. Hey? The idea that you Gentiles, if you want salvation, then first go to our outpatient surgical center. After that, then you can be made right with God. Seriously, folks. Circumcision cannot save you. Circumcision can only identify you as an Israelite. That's all. That's all. And the devil gets involved wherever he can here. Secondly, he would have loved to have caused a division in that church. Hey? He would have loved to have started this bloody doctrinal, theological war in the early church. He would have loved to cause bitterness and hatred between those believers. That's how he works. We saw it this week. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan was excited, wasn't he? Hey? I've done it. I've silenced that voice. I've done it. And then, in reality, what happened? 3 days later. 3 days later, risen from the dead, he must have thought, oh, what's going on? And this very week, there was a voice. There was a voice out there. Very loud voice, actually. And Charlie Kirk. He was gunned down. It's interesting that he was shot in the neck. Shot in the voice box. Hey? Shut the voice up. And Satan would have been, again, excited. Look, got him. But folks, last Sunday, millions of people knew the name Charlie Kirk. Millions of people knew what he stood for. This Sunday, the whole world knows who he is. The whole world knows what he stood for. Did Satan win? And he never will. He never will. So, now for centuries, the Jews had tried to save themselves. And they tried to do that by keeping the law, and this law was given through Moses, but from generation to generation, everyone had fallen short. No one to come even close to keeping the law, let alone obeying it completely. Now, some of the religious leaders, like the Pharisees, they believed that they were keeping the law. They thought they were. And they believed this until Jesus came. And he clarified how the law went far deeper than that superficial way that they'd been keeping it. Because they were focusing on the letter of the law. That was their mistake. They were focusing on external observance or works righteousness. Whereas the spirit or the heart of the law goes much, much deeper than that. Can we have that first slide up here, please? And thank you, Josh, for the slides, his design. Okay, slide one, is it up there? Yeah. Matthew 5, 17. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. You see, it's really all about internal holiness. It's about freely gifted righteousness. For example, do not murder. It goes deeper than just physically killing somebody. If you gossip, then you are murdering somebody's reputation. And the sad news is that you now have broken the law. Another example could be, do not commit adultery. If you cause somebody else to stumble by your dress code or by your behavior, then have broken the law. At the heart of the law, there's this command to love God wholeheartedly and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you look at the requirements of the law from Jesus' perspective, then you'll quickly realize that we all fall very short of the righteous requirements of God. We all miss the mark. And every one of us is in desperate need of a Savior. Folks, that's the truth. So let's go to the second point. And you might ask, after what I've just said, what then is the purpose of the law? Why does it even exist? And it's a good question. The law was never meant to be a savior. It was meant to point Israel to the Savior, to point them to Jesus Christ. It was meant to restrain sin until such time as Jesus came. And Israel would have been destroyed, they would have destroyed themselves long ago if sin was left unchecked. The law was meant to reveal something of the holiness of God. It was meant to reveal sin. That's what it's meant to do. Without the law, there is no sin. Imagine if there was no speed limit. Nobody would ever be guilty of speeding, not so. And you could travel as fast as you like. No problem. So the point of the law was that it was to be like a guardian or a guide. that leads us to Jesus. We can see more about that, if you like, go and have a look in Galatians 3. So God wants us to be led by internal godly desires, godly motivations, to be led by His Holy Spirit. And this starts with Him giving us a new heart when we are saved. He gives us a new heart. And that heart is bent towards a desire to obey and to please God. Just like that bias in a bowling bowl, it pulls the bowl in a desired direction. That's what our heart should be doing. Can we see the second slide? 1 Timothy 1:8. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. I can probably stop there. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers. Can we go to the next slide? For adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars, for perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine. So clearly, this is the purpose of the law. This is what it's for. That's its function. Okay, back to Acts 15, verse 2 now. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. How did Paul and Barnabas respond? They disagreed strongly. The word says they came into sharp dispute. They didn't say, well, that's a very interesting theory. No, not at all. They said, you must be crazy. This is not what God says. This is not what the word says. No, no, no. Prove it to us. Show us in Scripture where this is backed up. Show us. We're not believing you. Now, folks, there are quite a few doctrinal issues in the Christian life where, and there are aspects of the truth where we Christians can agree to disagree. There are a few understanding of what God is going to do in the end times. And Christians could agree on some of these understandings. We could do that. We could, for instance, agree to disagree on the order of the events. Does the rapture happen before the tribulation? Does it come in the middle of the tribulation? Does it happen at the end? Is there no such thing? Now, some think one way, and others think another. And there is some biblical evidence to support all of those understandings. But it really doesn't matter which of these stances we take. It doesn't matter. Why not? Because it's not a salvation issue. It's not. It doesn't affect how you are made right with God. But this situation in Acts 15 was very different. Here, it did affect salvation. And it did affect how you made right with God. This was a big deal. They were deciding if salvation came as a result of what Jesus did for us on the cross, as a result of that alone, or was it as a result of what Jesus did plus some additional things that we need to do? That was what they were talking about. So which is it? Paul and Barnabas, they couldn't let this ride. They had to get this sorted out. ASAP. Verse 3. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all believers very glad. I love this verse. Hey? It's amazing. Just imagine, as they traveled, they brought great joy to all the people. All along the way. They were like a group of rock stars, if you like, on tour. Okay, and bringing joy to every town as they traveled along. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to bring joy wherever I go. Hey, don't you want to do that? Let's do that. Verse 4. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. So let's first notice that these guys were from the party of the Pharisees. Okay. So they would be well known for their belief in and their desire to obey that law of Moses. Right down to the smallest detail. It would have been very difficult for these Christians with that Pharisee background. Very difficult for them to trust only in Jesus. Can you see that? They would have had to disregard their own deep-seated belief that they save themselves through their own efforts and religious efforts. These guys were saying that the Gentiles are free to come to salvation. That's cool. They can come to salvation, but they must come through the law of Moses first. Only then can they come to Jesus. There's probably something of a Pharisee in each of us. We want to default back to trying to qualify for salvation. We're trying to qualify in our own strength and our own behaviors. And there may even be some people here today who, they're good people, I don't doubt that, but you think that you save yourself and that Jesus just helps you to do it. You might even think that you save yourself by attending church here on a Sunday. Now, I'm all for church attendance. I am. And I believe so is Jesus. He is also. But you can't save yourself by attending church or any other of your good works. You can't. The Bible is clear. It's clear on this. Salvation comes through Jesus. And through Jesus alone. Galatians 2:16 says, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law in Jesus Christ. Very clear. Very clear. When we spend time with Jesus, when we when we abide with him, then over time, he produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. He does it. Yeah. Folks, if you get this, then you will stop trying to keep the law. And you'd rather pursue a personal relationship with Jesus, because that is what will produce a far higher righteousness than ever keeping the law, ever. Verse 6. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After some discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. So it was after much discussion. There was a long debate, maybe even a heated debate. It might have got out of hand even at times. And then Peter stands up and he reminds them that God chose him to preach to the Gentiles so that they too could hear the good news and be saved. Verse 8 says, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. Peter is putting forward a very strong argument here. He says, God knows the heart. And if he knows the heart, and he accepted them, then surely we should also. Hey? Verse 9 says, he made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. God made no distinction, and nor should we. He purified them, how? By faith, not by works or keeping the law, no, by faith. Verse 10. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our forefathers have been able to bear? Good question, eh? He says, why ask the Gentiles to do something that we and our forefathers have never been able to do? What's the point? Before Moses even got down from the mountain with his brand newly printed law, before he got down, they'd already broken it. They were dancing around the golden calf. Huh? He's also dancing, I see. Verse 11. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Peter says something very important here. He says, we are all saved the same way. He doesn't say they. He makes no distinction. So, it's not the law. It's by grace. It's grace that saves us. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter. That's what it's about. Can we see that fifth slide, please? Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Simple. Sometimes the word is so clear and so simple. It's amazing, eh? And it's interesting to note, God doesn't always just drop the answers to difficult questions in our laps. Doesn't always do that. Here, the apostles had to debate, had to discuss, They had to seek wisdom. They had to talk with the Holy Spirit. So God hasn't given us the answer to every hypothetical question that may arise in the church. We've experienced that here in South City. We haven't got the answers to a whole lot of the questions that have been asked of us. But what He has done, He's given us guidance in His Word. And His Word contains the principles that are needed to make wise decisions. To make decisions that align with God's will. Early church resolved their conflict. How did they do it? What did they do? Well, with church leaders, both sides were given an opportunity to present their case. And then, after they'd heard all of the evidence, they gave it great thought. They then made a decision, and that decision was communicated to everyone. Everyone agreed to abide by the decision. Can you see? Unity was maintained. And then they moved forward even stronger. So folks, that's the model for us. That's the model for us to follow. It's quite clear and quite simple. So there's only one way to be saved. There's only one Savior. Only one. And He's appointed for all mankind. Who is He? Jesus Christ. Salvation is not by law keeping, but by faith. Faith in Jesus alone. When we do that, then we're born from above, and we have this evidence in our lives of a changed life, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit now grows in us and through us as we abide, or if you like, walk with Jesus. We start out now where Jesus finished. We start there. We're not working for salvation. Jesus' completed work on the cross. We're living in it. We have one Savior for all. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Marius, can you bring your guys up here? Let's sing that third song again. I think it's very apt. Folks, thank you very much for your time and your attention.